John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, following space engineering and space exploration. We begin with engineering. Well, actually, a little show business here. Bob is identifying the last two passengers on a private commercial manned spaceflight. The dream of the 20th century is here, and we have the names. This is a charity operation by a very well-to-do man who's spending his money on a spectacular event. Very dangerous, Bob. Good evening to you. Who is the man who's spending his money, and who are the new winners of a ride into orbit?
The name of the guy is Gerard Isaacman, who's got lots of money, and he decided he was going to use his money to buy outright a flight on a Dragon capsule using a Falcon 9 rocket to go up for about 3 days in space, bringing three passengers with him, no other professional astronauts, him and his three passengers on a Dragon capsule, and to do it partly because he wants to go to space, but partly also to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which, you know, he supports. And so he had already picked one of his other his second flight astronaut, and this was actually a former patient of St. Jude's. It was a woman who, when she was 10 years old, was sick, and they basically cured her. And so now she's going into space with him. And the other two were picked based on a variety of criteria relating to donating to St. Jude's. And those two individuals is one, a woman, Sion Proctor, who has basically been trying to get into space. She's done a whole bunch of things. She's done a lot of on-ground pseudo space flights. She's a pilot. She's done lots of stuff that the kind of things one does if one wants to become an astronaut. And the second one was a U.S. space camp counselor, a guy, Chris Sembroski, who's done a bunch of simulated space shuttle missions. Both these people were supposed to be winning this in a variety of ways, through a lottery or through donations. But I'm sure it's not entirely that. They picked for skills as well. But either way, they haven't yet added up the money, but they've raised a lot of money. The goal was to raise $200 million for St. Jude's, and last I heard, they were easily over that, half that target for sure. They're going to go up on the Dragon capsule named Resilience. This is already it's right now in space. It flew the first operational mission with crew, and it's in space. It's due to come back to Earth very shortly. And when it gets back, SpaceX is going to remove the docking port and put in a glass dome window, so that this private crew will have a really nice view of space outside the capsule, because they're not docking with anything on that mission, so they can do that. And so anyway, that's the plan. It'll be the second flight of Resilience, bringing up private people into space. And it's totally private. There's no money. There's no government money involved here at all. SpaceX is flying it, and Isaacman is paying for it.
Dream Chaser, the best name of all the potential spacecraft to go up and down to Earth orbit. Spacecraft that have been built over the years to match our imaginations. This one, all right away, I was concerned that it was falling to the side because SpaceX got out in front. But now Dream Chaser has a vision, has a dream, Bob. Originally, you had reported some time ago that it delayed its first mini reusable Dream Chaser shuttle to 2022. However, now the people who run Dream Chaser have a much bigger landscape. What are they up to, Bob?
Well, okay, just so everyone understands, Dream Chaser is the general name, kind of like Dragon, for this planned fleet, eventually, of reusable mini shuttles. Now, they are building one right now for NASA to provide cargo up and down to ISS. They have a contract to do that. Eventually, though, this is the announcement they've made. They're not only going to build cargo Dream Chase spacecraft, but they're also going to build a manned version. And we were expecting that all along. They initially were trying to get the manned cargo, the manned ferry service to ISS, but they weren't ready yet, so they didn't get that contract. But they got the cargo, and that allows them to build an unmanned version, which now they can upgrade. But what's even more interesting about this announcement this week is that they also announced that they are going to be developing their own private space station. They have a contract with NASA already to do a prototype inflatable space station module, and it's being tested on the ground. Well, they're going to upgrade that test, the work they're doing, to build what they call the life habitat in space, which they can then use Dream Chaser vessels to go up and down to. And it will be one of those inflatable modules that gets bigger in space so that it can be launched small and then made bigger. And their plan is to build their own space station and have their own vehicle to go up and down. This isn't tied into the previous story, John. We now have two companies that are building modules that they intend to launch into space for building space stations, private, and we now have multiple private missions going into space with people that the government has nothing to do with. And this is the future, and it's really exciting because all of them are going to compete, which will lower the cost, which means more people can buy it, which means more will build, and it'll just get better and better.
Bob, we're getting crowded in low Earth orbit, aren't we? I mean, this is going to be a problem that's going to challenge everybody because there's still a lot of space junk up there, and now they're building condos in orbit.
Well, all right, here you go. Very quickly, the many companies that are building these stations are going to realize it's to their interest to get the junk away. And so they will probably create an industry consortium to pay the cost of removing the junk. And that will start happening. I have no doubt about that. It'll be for their incentive to remove the junk, so it's part of their cost of doing business, which means somebody else can make money removing the junk. And it just keeps and then of course that the technology developed can be started to use to other things as well, since it's maintenance and servicing in orbit. And so it just gets better. It gets better.
We're off to Scotland, to the Shetland Islands in Scotland. I never made it to the Shetlands. I always meant to take the trip out there, but in wintertime it's a little challenging. And in any event, it's a very romantic place. Not many people live there. And as I understand it, in addition to a radar station left over from defeating the Germans, it is an opportunity for space launch. But something happened, Bob. Not in my backyard showed up.
Yeah, well, this has been an issue. There are two different spaceports being proposed for Scotland. One is in the Shetland Islands, and that's a latecomer to this competition. And the other one is in Sutherland, Scotland. And the Shetland idea came late in the game, but it's, they put their packaging together and they're trying to push it. But there are some people who don't want the Shetland port to happen. And so they were going to build it on, as you mentioned, an old World War II radar station. It's pretty much not used now. It's a historical site. Well, it's called the Historic Environment Scotland. It's their EPA, you could say, has declared that they can't do this, period. They rejected their application, and it can't be built. And so Sutherland is dead at this moment. Now, the people in running the Shetland project proposal say they're going to fight that. They're going to try to fight it. But there's big money behind this because some local people who live in Shetland want it there. They'd rather it was in Sutherland. And there's some people, by the way, in Sutherland who don't want it there and would rather be in Shetland. So I don't know how it's going to play out, but this is an example of, that old radar station is not used. Yes, it's a historical place, but to be very honest, there's not much way to make a living in Shetland. This would bring a lot of jobs there and be really good for the people that live there, and it's really foolish.
Now, Bob, if I understand the Scots, the prosperity is easy for them because they're good and careful crofters. They're very good at it. But there's poetry in the Shetlands, Bob. There's poetry in the coast of Scotland. And I can understand there's reluctance to welcome in the 22nd century, which is what happens if you're building a spaceport. So in the course of time, we now move to another not in my backyard. Bob, this is two stories. This is going to be start piling up because commercial space is going to intrude everybody's imagination of their region. Starlink is not a problem. Starlink is a vision for international communications, for especially for people very far from large cities or good broadband. However, someone has decided that it doesn't belong in India. This is too fantastic, Bob. What's happened?
Oh, well, okay. Starlink, this is SpaceX's internet constellation of satellites to provide, as you say, internet service to the really rural and out-of-the-way places initially. It could actually go everywhere eventually. They're trying to become operational for India, and they're getting ready to do it. Well, an industry body representing the likes of Amazon, Hughes, Google, Microsoft, and Facebook has written the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, as well as India's space agency, ISRO, asking them to block SpaceX from selling any beta versions of its Starlink satellite services to customers in India. They claim that, and SpaceX doesn't have the license authorization to do this. What it really has to do with is that Amazon and Hughes in particular are direct competitors with Starlink, but are way behind or don't have as good a product. And so they can't compete on the open market with Starlink right now. So their solution is to go to the government and say, hey, prevent our competitors from competing. Now, I don't know what the Modi government in India is going to do, but it tends to be in favor of private enterprise. And so I would suspect the government's inclination, that particular government, would be to say no to this. But there is also in India a very large faction within its government of bureaucracy that protects itself, and they might want to do this. And so I don't know what will happen, but it's a really good example of, using government power to squash your competitors rather than getting out in the market and freely competing and making a better product.
We've got veterans of SpaceX, of Airbus, of other operations in Europe forming a private enterprise, several private enterprises for boosters in Germany. It's about time, Bob. Germany's where the R4, the A4 started, the original space program that came, that was Operation Paperclip. We got better Germans than the Russians did to start the whole space race. And I've wondered.
Well, all right, let's talk about this. Germany, after World War II, no one wanted Germany to make missiles for a very long time.
Right.
And so making rockets is something that I think nobody would have let Germany make for a half century. But time has passed now, and we're getting into a commercial situation where you can make money making small rockets, only a little bit bigger than model rockets when you really think about it, to put up small sats. And so there are now three German startup companies that are proposing to build their own small sat rockets. These would be comparable to what Rocket Lab has been launching, and a few other companies are about to launch. They're not big rockets. They don't put big payloads up, but they would cater to the CubeSats and the NanoSat companies, providing them a rocket that will get those satellites into the exact orbits they want to be. And so these three companies, there was an article I saw, so I posted a link to it on Behind the Black, describing these three companies. They're called ISAR Aerospace, Rocket Factory, and High Impulse. And one of them will hope to launch in 22, another one in 23, and the third, we're not quite sure when it'll launch. But here's the point. There is actually now money being invested in Europe for private companies independent of the European Space Agency and independent of Ariane Space, the European Space Agency's so-called commercial company. This is actual totally private, and it means it's competitive. It's part of the same game, and it's a good thing, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.